Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back to Revelation 19 for just a couple of minutes. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I went down to the Wilmer Eye Institute today, and I have had macular degeneration now for quite a while, and I found out that it's degenerating even more. I went from we'll keep an eye on this, well, we'll watch this, we'll see every 6 months, to, well, we'll see every 3 months, So I have gone from dry to wet, and the wet is not what you want to be. So I start shots for this on Monday. I have to go for my first shot on Monday. You know, the very thought of this just gives me the goolybooks, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, in your eye. Yeah, they numb it, of course. But yeah, you get a shot in your eye. Ugh. So I say that to ask you folks to pray. Pray that this will stop. All right? I told the doctor, He's one of these little Johns Hopkins whiz bangs, you know. And I told him, I said, "Now I don't want to go blind." And he said, "I'm going to make sure you don't." So I said, "All right, I'm trusting you to keep me doctored up here." And he said, "I will do that. I will do that." So I feel comfortable with the doctor that I have. The insurance company approved the shots, but they would not approve the shot for this morning. Does that make sense to anybody? It's ridiculous. And I looked at the doctor. I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "I got to sit here now from Wednesday to Monday and fret about this?" He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but yeah, looks like it." So anyway, if y'all pray about that, I don't have time for this, you know. So pray that the Lord will do something. He's done it before. When you've prayed, He does wonderful things. So let's trust Him again. All right, chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation, and what did I say? Now let's do 20. Did I say 19? I have macular brain degeneration too. Yeah. Why did I say 19? I don't know. Why, I would have said 19. Anyway, okay. Oh, I know why I said, let's look at 19. I just remembered. All right, so let's look down, please, at verse 19, all right? And in verse 19, John says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." All right, so we have the Lord Jesus and his army. And you remember back earlier in the chapter when he comes riding out of heaven, he comes with us in verse 11. Heaven opens up and he comes out on a white horse, and we see that he is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. All right, so then in verse 14, it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All right, so those armies are us, and the one on the white horse in verse 11 is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, but now if you go down to verse 19, you're going to see the other side of the battle. You're going to see the other enemy, or the true enemy. In verse 19, and I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, that he has rallied together, that he has drawn together in an effort to destroy the Jews and to defeat Jerusalem. And so the Lord is going to come back, of course. That's what this chapter is all about. And then it says that they were gathered together in verse 19 to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now watch this. Now we know they lose, all right? This is the battle of Armageddon. You do realize that, right? All right, this is the battle of Armageddon right here in verse 19. And then in verse 20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. And then it says, these both. So who's both? Well, that's the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. So both of those who are Satan's, Satan incarnate, all right? You remember, everything God does, Satan copies it. He tries to imitate. And so God is three, yet one. He is Father, Son, Spirit, and these three are one. All right, that's the holy Godhead. But then there is a satanic, small g, Godhead. And the satanic Godhead is, of course, Satan, the dragon, as he is called in the book of the Revelation. All right, so you got Satan, the dragon. And then the second person in that's the Antichrist, the beast. And then the third person in that is the false prophet. So what we find here is at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, when the victory is won by the Lord, we're going to see the Lord take the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now look at the rest of the verse. It says, these, verse 20, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, remember reading an article, this was, 15 years ago. And in that article, they were talking about how with all of the conservation laws that are now on the books all around the world, there is an abundance, an absolute abundance of carrion eating birds of prey. All right, what's carrion? That's dead flesh. All right, that's dead flesh. And I don't know if you've noticed it here, right here in our area, right here around the church, there are thousands of crows. And those things are flying back and forth constantly. You see them here all the time, over top of the dump, just down the road. We see buzzards flying around, turkey buzzards or turkey vultures, and they're flying around all over the place. You see a dead carcass of a deer on the side of the road, and there's normally five or six buzzards sitting there ripping the flesh off of that carcass. So they're everywhere, and you can't kill them. If you do and you get caught, you get in serious trouble. I don't know why you'd want to kill one anyway. You can't eat it. But nonetheless, due to all the protections, they're thriving. And it's not just here. It's all over the world. And the question was asked by this author, why are all these birds of prey, why are all these carrion eating birds alive today? And they tried to answer it with simply saying that it's all the protections. Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But wait a minute. There is going to be at the Valley of Megiddo on the plain of Esdraelon over in Israel, there is going to be a battlefield that is going to be literally filled with sinners, with lost people who have been slaughtered by the sword that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. And so these are those birds that are going to be filled, verse 21, with their flesh. So no matter what angle you look at our world today, you cannot help but see that the stage is set for the Lord's return and for all of this to begin to happen. All right, so notice that this is the lake of fire. And notice that carefully in verse 20, at the end of the verse, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. All right, now, look at chapter 20. In chapter 20, we have the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. So we have the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign. And don't forget, you and I will rule and reign with him. All right? So we are going to help rule the world. We're going to be given authority. We're going to be given power so that we can help the Lord and make sure that everybody does what they're supposed to do. You say, well, what if they don't? Well, then we get a hold of headquarters, which is going to be Jerusalem. We get a hold of headquarters and let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords know that there are some who are rebelling, and then he's going to put a stop to it. Because it's not a matter of we sure hope you'll obey the laws here. We hope you'll obey the rules. No, that's not how it's going to work. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. A rod of iron. I had in the third grade, she was a new teacher, first year, and we were her first class, and she had this little stick. It was about that long, and she's told us that her grandfather was a teacher. And he whittled that little stick out for her, about that long, and he whittled it out from a from a hickory limb, and so she would walk around and hold that stick in her hand, and we all were we were scared, really, to be honest with you. But you know, we looked at that thing and thought, she wouldn't hit somebody with that stick. Well, there was this one little twerp, and he decided that he didn't know the answer, so he was going to look on the paper of the straight-A student who sat beside of him, and the twerp was not me, all right? I saw your eyes. All right, I'm going blind, but not now. I saw you. And so this little guy looked over on her paper to get the answer, and she saw him as she was coming. You know, she'd walk around, go up and down all the aisles and all that stuff, and she was right there when he was looking over, and boy, she whacked him on the noggin with that thing. You could hear it just co-op, you know, like that, and it tore him up. And I think that was the first time she'd ever used it, evidently, because, man, she overpowered that one for sure. She definitely overpowered that one. That poor little kid had a pump knot on his head and everything else. But we're gonna see the Lord rule with a rod of iron. This is not going to be a hickory rod that he's going to rule with. It's a rod of iron, all right, stiff. You get hit with it. You get hurt with it, and so that's just the way it's going to be. All right, so we're talking about Hades and the realm of the dead, and we have looked at the fact that Abraham's bosom was in Hades, paradise. Jesus called it on the cross, and all the Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. They did not go straight to heaven like we do, because Christ had not died on the cross yet. And so they were in Abraham's bosom. And then I showed you Hebrews 10:4, where the Bible says that in the Old Testament it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats sacrifices could take away sin. But what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming to get baptized? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So, Old Testament, your sins were covered. They were atoned by the blood, covered. And that's why when an Old Testament saint passed, they went to Abraham's bosom. Now, you'll remember, did I discuss this, that Jesus, somewhere in the 3 days and three nights, went down. Did I show you that? All right, so Jesus went down, and he brought them out. He brought them out of Abraham's bosom. And then when he ascended, they ascended with him. And they are today in heaven. All right, so Hades, the realm of the dead. And first, Abraham's bosom. Then what else was there? Hell is there. That's the place that the Lord Jesus spoke of often in the four Gospels. We read in Luke 16, and the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he told Abraham, "I am tormented in this flame." All right, so he was in a place that literally burns with fire. That's hell. And that place is still there. It's still active. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes here, if we have time, that it's actually still enlarging. It's growing. It's growing. And the more men reject the Lord, the bigger it's going to get. All right? Now, what's going to happen to hell? Well, if you look over at chapter 20, at the end of the millennium, it says in verse 11, it says, let's go to verse 10 first. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is at the end of the millennium. Satan was bound and he was cast, according to verse 2 of this 20th chapter. He was bound for 1,000 years. All right. And the Lord, in verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit. So that's where he was. That's where he will be for 1,000 years. And then at the end, he is let loose for a little while, according to the scriptures here, verse 7. And then in verse 11, we read this, or verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. All right, now they got thrown in there at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, at the end of the tribulation period, chapter 19, verse 20. All right, you see in the time? You see in the time flow? Don't forget your outline. Rapture, ruin. So at the end of the ruin period is the Battle of Armageddon. And then the false prophet and the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire at that time. The devil is bound. He is chained in chapter 20, and he is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then, all right, then in verse 10, when he's cast into the lake of fire, he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's a long time. All right. And in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, did you hear that? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. All right? So Old Testament, New Testament, didn't matter. If you died lost, you went to this place called hell. Where was hell? We know it's down, and it's in the realm, it's in Hades, in the realm of the dead. Everything that's there was dead. Dead. And everything that will be there is dead. All right? And so it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now watch this. Here's the realm of the dead. Here's Hades. And God is going to take, or the Lord Jesus, I should say, is going to take hell after all these centuries, after all these millennia, that has enlarged itself and is full. We're going to see in a little while. And God is going to cast them, all them, into the lake of fire. That word lake of fire is the word that you've heard before called Gehenna. Gehenna. All right, so if you ever hear that, that's the lake of fire. All right, everybody understand that? All right, now, there is a, oh man. There is a third word that is used, all right? We said there's Abraham's bosom, there's hell, there's the lake of fire, all right? Then there's another word, all right? That's the word Sheol. Go back in your Bible to the book of Numbers. Numbers and chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16. Numbers 16. All right, now, there's some interesting things here. Let me just give you the story. There was this guy. His name was Korah. K-O-R-A-H. And he was from the tribe of Levi. And his dad was Kohath. Kohath. All right. You know the English Jewish name Cohen? Cohen? Kohath. All right. And so this guy's got pedigree. All right. He is from the priestly tribe. But nonetheless, you'll see in verse 2 of chapter 16, him and a bunch of his buds, they rose up before Moses. So they got in Moses' face and challenged him. All right? And so Moses said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together and we're going to let God decide how this thing ends. All right, so they did, and it got hairy real fast. All right, so look, please, if you will, I'm going to cut to the chase. Look at verse 31. It says, and it came to pass as he had made an end of speaking all these words, watch now, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Now this is Korah and all of his friends. 250 men. And they're going to come against Moses. And so it's 250 against two, Moses and Aaron, basically. Well, three, God. All right? And so that's not a fair fight right there, we all know. And here's what happened. Well, what happened was the earth opened its mouth. Look at verse 30. Moses says, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, and folks, that's exactly what happened. Look down now at verse 32. It says, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. Look here. Into Sheol. Sheol. Now that's a Hebrew word that basically means the grave, to a grave. All right, so I guess if the earth was to open up and you were to fall down into the opened earth, and then the earth would close back over top of you and bury you, I guess it would be kind of a grave, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, put a marker up and say, don't rebel. Korah paid the price. No, it was not an earthquake. This was the hand of God. And it's powerful. It is powerful. Look at verse, it says in verse 34. I like this. Watch this. It says, well, let's get the rest of 33. And the earth closed upon them and they perished. Well, I reckon from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now watch, watch. As if the earth swallowing these people was not enough, and there came out a, what? Fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense. These were Korah's men. 250 of them. Now, folks, listen. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? That'd be an awful way to go. And so, so Korah and his men were called by Moses, and when they all showed up at the tabernacle, well, the glory of the that was in the tabernacle came out, and the earth opened itself up, and they were all destroyed. Don't mess with God. Do you remember what Samuel said to King Saul? He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you go back and check the law and what they did to witches, they stoned them. Stoned them to death. To death. In the law, whew, this would be, this, man, this would be something. If you had a rebellious child, you were to go and turn him in. Now you imagine that. Now that'd be a good threat line, wouldn't it? You don't straighten up, I'm going to turn you in. Oh yeah, well, what are they going to do? They're going to stone you. And I guess some of the dads did. You know, if rebellion would be dealt with, that'd put a stop to it. I'm just saying. All right, one more verse. One more verse. Go over, please, to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. All right, so look back up here again. All right, so when you found 2 Peter, look back up here again. I don't want to lose you. That Sheol, that would have been where their bodies were buried. Where would their souls have gone? To hell. In Hades. And so one of these days, they're still there, by the way. And so is the rich man. And so is Judas. And so is the thief on the cross who rejected Christ. And so is the rich man. All right? They're all in hell. They still are. They're still there tonight. Suffering. But it doesn't get any better for them. Because at the end of the millennium, they stand before God and they hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And then hell is cast into the lake of fire. So it doesn't get any better for any of them. All right? All right, one more verse. Here we go. You ready? Look at chapter 2 of 2 Peter and look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." All right, now look back at verse 4. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned..." Now you remember that when Satan rebelled, 1/5 of the angels in heaven rebelled with him. And I think, it's just my opinion, the Bible does not specifically say this, but I think that God took some of the higher ranked angels who like Satan should have known better, and he placed them in judgment. He placed them in that realm of the dead, in the grave. We don't see them. We don't hear anything out of them. But it's really interesting when you get over here to Revelation and you start reading some of the judgments that are going to be cast upon the earth. And John said that he saw these angels and they tormented man. They were freed. He said they're in the Euphrates River. They're bound in the Euphrates River. That's where God is storing them. And they're going to be turned loose during the tribulation period. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven. I don't want to do battle with those things. No, sir. All right? But now, you see that? That word where it says, "and cast them down to hell," that word is another completely different word. And it is the word Tartaros. T-A-R-T-A-R-O-S. Tartaros. And that is where these fallen angels are being kept in reserve for judgment. And God is going to use them during the tribulation period to inflict pain, suffering, death upon men who have rejected Christ as they are turned loose upon this world. Now, that's all the categories that are found in Scripture in the realm of the dead. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. All right, well, okay, let's do one more verse and then I'll close. All right, go back to Isaiah for just a moment, chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And I want you to look down, please, at verse 14. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit led Isaiah to say here. Listen to this. Therefore, what's the next word? Hell. Yep. Hell. You say, which one's that, Pastor? Hell. That's the one it is. Therefore, hell, the place that burns, the flame. I'm tormented in this flame, the rich man said. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. So what's Isaiah telling us here? Well, he's saying that as time goes on, hell is getting larger and larger. Why? To contain all the Christ rejectors. To contain all the lost. You know, it seems to me, and you know, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, but it seems to me that the Lord's coming is way overdue. Way overdue. But of course, it is right on time. But to me, it seems way overdue. But then you look at it this way. His grace simply gives more time as he tarries his coming for folks to see their need and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But that also means that more folks are dying without Christ today. And that is so sad. So hell needs continuously to be enlarged in order to accommodate so much rejection of Christ. All right, one more verse. Sorry. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 27. This is it. I promise you this is it. Cross my heart, hope to die. You know that next one, stick up needle? No, no. No, no, I ain't doing that. All right, Proverbs 27. Look at verse 20. Remember now, Solomon, wisest man ever lived, they say. Of course, he had 1,000 wives and bless his heart. All right, look at verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full. Now, isn't that something? Never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Boy, that's true. So true. All right. Well, folks, I hope that helps you. I think that's where we'll stop. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We stand in awe of your word. Father, your word has all the answers, no matter what the question is. The word of God has the answer. And I pray that you will instruct us tonight, help us to go home and read and reread these verses and these chapters and get familiar with every word that is spoken. And Father, help us to see the urgency of the hour, that we will do everything we can to share the gospel and let folks know that they don't have to go to hell for all eternity, there is a way out, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless us, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.